Welcome to another inspiring message from David Hall, pastor of LifePoint Church, Adelaide, Australia. It's our sincere prayer that you would experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. For more information, please visit davidhall.com.au.
Acts chapter 4, part 3. Hello, my name is. First week I preached. Last week, Pastor Layla preached a message on when God introduces himself. How many were blessed last Sunday? This week, I get to preach the most fun installment of the series because I get to preach on the greatest name that has ever been, and that's the name of Jesus. And so this morning, the title of my message is Jesus, or the power of the name of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, it says this, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,'" somebody say the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let me tell you, when have you ever been around an old saint when they pray? They don't even just bust out and "in the name of Jesus." They go, "in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." You know they know something. You know that when they pray, demons manifest and things happen. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," and I love how he throws this in, "whom you crucified, when God raised him from the dead, by him man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name." Somebody say, no other name. No other name. "There is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. There is no name greater. There is no name more powerful. There is no name more supernatural than the name of Jesus." When we pray in Mark, I'll get back to this passage, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught us when we pray like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy or set apart is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no other name by which man can be saved. Hallowed be thy name." His name is powerful. His name is excellent, but his name is set apart. His name is holy. His name is not just a well-thought-out name. It's a supernatural name. It's a name that contains the power of God behind it. It's a name that when we engage with his name, supernatural things happen. Can I say today, the whole world has lost its mind because there's another name floating around at the moment called COVID-19. And I know this is simple preaching. I know it's kind of cheesy preaching. And I know that it's like instant amens to this kind of preaching. But it's a bit like today, I'm just preaching to the choir. But every now and then you just get to preach one that just stirs a fresh sense of joy. But I want to remind you, COVID-19 has the world on the run, but it's still subject to the name of Jesus. Here's another name: depression, subject to the name of Jesus. Anxiety, subject to the name of Jesus. Cancer, subject to the name of Jesus. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack. They all put worry in our hearts, but how many know that we have a name that's greater? I wore my Benny Hinn jacket just to stir your faith. Lift your hands, I tell you. There's no name under heaven. When you call on his name, supernatural things happen. You can call my name. My name's David. Nothing will happen. I mean, I'll call back. You know, it depends on what's going on. But the best you'll get from me is a phone call back. But when you call on his name, some of you are lost. We're all lost. But in one moment, whether it was in a kitchen, whether it was in our car, whether it was in a church, whether it was a youth group, wherever it might have been, you called on his name in faith, and literally your spirit man, your soul, your heart, your whole life went from eternity lost to eternity in heaven with Jesus. One mention of that name in faith can shift eternity forever and forever. That's a powerful name. That's why when I sing the song, "What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is." There's enough power in that name to smash disease and to break the shackles of the powers of darkness. There is no name like the name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, give God a faith-filled amen this morning. Religion's domesticated his name, made his name safe. Almost, you watch people, they'll win an award. You know, I want to thank my friends, my family. I want to thank Jesus. I want to thank my record producer. I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank every other unrighteous thing, but they chuck Jesus in because Jesus is some kind of icon, is some kind of religious form and name that society have tried to embrace and use. But I want to remind you today that there is no other name than the name of, there's no name that comes close. And the problem is society and religion will domesticate his name. You look at pictures of Jesus and they've made him look so safe and so non-threatening. And you, even when I was a kid in Sunday school, how many remember, like nowadays, Sunday school out there is pretty good. Like you've got lights and projectors and I mean, you've got multimedia. You got a bit of excellence out there. When I was a kid, how many did Sunday school pre-1990s? You did in the 80s, the 70s. When I was in Sunday school, this was our multimedia. It was a felt board, this big by that big. It's called flannel graph. Does anyone remember that? And the Sunday school teacher, well, you can still buy them at Coorong. I've actually thought about investing just to lift my preaching to another level. I can, and they'd have like felt characters for each Bible scenario. So you'd have like felt Jesus. You remember felt Jesus? And they'd just stick him on there. And felt Jesus, he did great like the first year, but after about 10 years of use and no budget for the kids ministry, Jesus had faded. I remember going to Sunday school and Jesus's hand had frayed off. So he didn't actually have a hand. And you'd watch him and he'd be perfectly manicured but faded. He looked ill. And I'm not, some of you are getting offended. There's no way to talk about Jesus. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about felt Jesus, pretend Jesus. And I can... I hope I'm not offending you, Jane. She was looking after the kids for years. She probably has one at home, but I'm sure yours is in better condition. But they would put felt Jesus up there and he'd be faded and frayed, missing hand. And the Sunday school teacher would say, whatever trouble you have, just call on his name. And I remember looking at him thinking, he's unwell. He needs Jesus. But they created this perfectly safe Jesus, so no one's world was rocked. It was, but the real Jesus, he wasn't nicey nice. He wasn't Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips. He wasn't wishy washy. He wasn't safe. When Jesus was annoyed at church, he started pushing furniture, throwing furniture. We throw people out for that. Jesus threw furniture, literally threw the tables. And then when the message still wasn't getting through, what did he do? He pulls out his whip. Can I ask you a question? Who brings a whip to church? Jesus is whipping people. He's just whipping people, saying, watch me whip. And they're like, no, that's terrible. He's whipping people. Some of us, we see this domesticated, safe Jesus, the religion knocks up. I like the table chucking Jesus. I mean, the Jesus on the felt thing. If he wasn't happy with the church service, he'd write a strongly worded email or a Facebook status update. SMH. They just so don't get it. But whatever, I'm out. But the real Jesus, he'd stir things up. He'd turn a funeral into church. When Jesus was ministering, things had happened. And when he comes back, he's not going to be galloping on a Shetland pony. He's coming back on a white horse, hair white like wool, fire in his eyes, a sword in his hand, on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. And so when we start to think about the name of Jesus, don't couch it in religion, couch it in faith. Understand that when his name is mentioned, all the power of heaven backs up that name. That's why salvation is in his name. That's why breakthrough comes in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen this morning? And so right here in Acts chapter 4, Peter has just raised in Acts chapter 3 the man at Gate Beautiful. How did he do that? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's where all the trouble started for Peter, was that miracle, that he used that name and now is defending that name and saying, look, this guy stands here because of the name of Jesus, because of the power of the name of Jesus. He didn't say it was even me, my gift, my anointing. He said, it's the power of the name of Jesus that this man stands here. And so they basically said, you can't use that name anymore. But how many know they did? They got in strife. They kept going and stirring things up. But at the end of the day, one of the greatest miracles that we see in the book of Acts was not something man could do, but man could tap into the power that is in the name of Jesus. And I've come to remind you this morning, church, there's power in his name. And if we remembered how much power was in the name of Jesus, we'd use his name in faith every day of our life. The greatest gift that you and I have been given in our walk with God, even outside of our walk with God, and I'll explain, because we're all given a measure of faith. And when we tap into that faith and call on his name, our whole life changes. What a gift from God that you and I can access eternal life, grace, favor, unmerited favor, all because of one name that holds weight above them all. The name of Jesus. As a child of God, we have the right to use his name. John 14:13, if you ask anything in my name, it shall be done. I've seen so many things happen in the name of Jesus. I've seen sick people healed. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen prayers answered. I've seen the power of Satan broken off a human life. Why? Because it's a powerful name. It is not just symbolism. It's not just a name we use to get people to just be better Christians and do behavior modification. We use his name because in his name, the power of God's behind that name. And you know, this morning as church and as Christians, I think it'd be awesome if when we pray, we start to even do that and say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ask, think or imagine. And this morning, I want to talk about the blessings that come in the name of Jesus. I got a lot to cover this morning, so I'm going to move quickly. I'd encourage you to write these down if you can. This is foundational preaching. So what I'm sharing with you, I believe every believer needs to know this stuff. And blessings that come in the name of Jesus. I've got six this morning, so I'd love you to write these down. Number one is salvation. Let me give you some scriptures. Romans 10:13. Anyone who calls, now let me just explain that word calls means arising from a place of faith or belief. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you say amen this morning? That's a powerful name right there. You call on that name, supernatural things happen. Acts 2:21, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2:32, it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a powerful name. Now let's have a look at 1 Corinthians. It says this, I want to turn there and read this morning. It's actually quite, I'll read a bit more of the passage today. In verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now if we have a look at verse 9, if we can get that on the screen. I know I only gave you 11, but if we can get verse 9 on there, it talks about, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And it goes through a list of a whole lot of things that people might do. And so in verse 9, you can see it really talks about stuff in terms of how we live morally. In verse 10, and then it says, nor thieves or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or extortionists, none of those will enter the kingdom of God. Now, have a look at this in verse 6. I love this. And church, I want you to hear what I'm saying here. It says, and such were some of you. Somebody say, such were some of you. Now, I want to explain that because it lists off so many different things that we can fall into and live in and many different challenges that we can face. And basically, it's just giving a list of all the sins, all the stuff that that are contrary to maybe what the Bible says. And so it says, and such were some of you. So you might say, well, I was immoral, or I was a thief, or I was covetous. He says, such were some of you. Look at that, such were. Past tense. Somebody say past tense. In other words, such were some of you, but... So you were a ratbag. Taylor, before Jesus, you were a thief. You were a covetous. I won't add any more to the list. But when you call on the name of Jesus, this is what he says. He says, but you were washed. Somebody say washed. He says, but you were sanctified. Somebody say sanctified. Oh, I love this, but you could just preach this and stay here all day. Hey, but you were justified. Somebody say justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So you might sit here and go, well, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, so I am this. Such were. Somebody say were. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I'm not who I used to be. I'm born again. I've been bought with a price. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. You know, so often we live under a cloud because of the things we've done wrong and the way we've lived and the mistakes we've made and the choices we've made and the way we've walked and the way we've talked. And we walk in here sometimes and go, well, I was this, I've been this, 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 and this, and this. Such were. That should set people free a little bit this morning, because you are not what you did. You're what Christ has made you. You are washed, you are sanctified and justified. What does justified mean? I remember in Bible college, I was expecting to learn something super deep when it comes to the word justified, justification, justified. And I remember the best definition I got, and there might be a far deeper, greater understanding that we could get into, but I reckon this is going to do just as well as anything this morning. Justified, justified, never sinned at all. So when I stand before God, how do you justify what you did? I plead the blood of Jesus. It justifies me. It doesn't mean I didn't do it. It means the record against me is broken, and my sin is as far as east is from west, is removed his transgressions from me. I am justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned at all. You might say, I'm not perfect. Neither am I, but I'm clean. And so when I stand here, I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. I stand here redeemed by the grace of God. And that is a beautiful thing, because that's what the name of Jesus can do. All of these blessings, some Christians are so bound. Just call on his name in faith and let God clean you up and clean you out and give you a whole new day. I was in the car wash yesterday with my son, Sam. And he's funny in the car wash, because everything is exciting to Sam in the car wash. So the brush is on the side window. He goes, look there. I'm like, oh man, that's unbelievable. To be honest, by the end of it, I think I was just as excited as him, because I'm like, look at that, it's spinning. And he's like, ah, it was fantastic. I washed Donna's car and I did have the windows down, but that's actually not, just more exciting. So, no, that's not true. So we're sitting in there, and I said, James, you know, so often as Christians, we wash the outside, but we've still got to do the vacuuming of the inside. And that's where some of us on Sunday, we're well washed, we've been brushed, you've been zhushed, you got your makeup on, you got your nice floral masks on, and that's just Jim Jackson. And but when we come in here, can I say that the name of Jesus, it actually does the real clean, it does the detail, it gets rid of the junk, it gets you clean in the name of Jesus, you are washed. Somebody say washed, somebody say sanctified, somebody say justified. Amen. Number two, blessings that come in Jesus' name. Number two is answered prayer. Or if you were born in South Australia, answered prayer. Who says answered? Who says answered? Ah, religious spirit. Answered prayer. John 14, let's have a look at this. Verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these will he do. We won't change verses for one second. I just want to elaborate here. Greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. That doesn't mean you and I are going to do better things than Jesus did. I still think what he did is fairly unbeatable. The book of John says there's not enough books in the entire world to contain the miracles that he did. I mean, he would walk on water, he'd speak to storms, he could speak to trees, and they would obey him. I speak to trees, I get locked up and institutionalized. Seems a bit unfair, but you've got to have a crack. Jesus, he says greater works. What's he saying? That word greater, my best understanding of this is that what was on him then got on the church in the form of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he means by greater works. So in other words, exponential power of God is now not only on one person, but is now on whoever gets saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. But verse 13 is where I want to land, point number two. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if, somebody say if. Verse 14, if. You know, a lot of people don't get their prayers answered because they're not actually asking. They're just thinking. We got to ask. If you ask anything in my name, I might do it if I'm in a good frame of mind. It's been a big week. We've got the pandemic at the moment. So I'm just having some time out. Let me tell you, God is always moving, is always available, is always supernatural. If you ask anything in my name, some of us, we need to get old school. Lord, I've got a son or a daughter. Lord, they're not living the way they should. But God, I bring them before you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, I'm asking that wherever they may be, let conviction fill their heart. Father, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon them. Oh, let them know that greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, let them come to Christ. You might be sitting here sick in your body. Lord, I've had this issue with my back. I've got this issue with my right nostril. I can't think of body parts right now. I'm carrying this challenge, and Father, in the name of Jesus, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, in the holy name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know something? I grew up, that was normal to me to just hear, oh, in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we don't pray like that like we should. But there's answered prayer in the name of Jesus. You might be sitting here, well, I can't tap into this name because I'm too busy living under the name of the rubbish I'm living under. Why don't you just swap? Your name can be healed because his name's Jesus. Your name can be whole because his name's Jesus. Your name can be blessed because his name's Jesus. That's a divine exchange. Swap names. Hallelujah. Are you happy this morning? Do you love Jesus? Smile just with your eyes. Smiles. John 16, 23. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Yeah, I didn't even need to explain it. Just let that word touch your heart. Maybe say a good amen this morning. Some of you, the breakthrough is one prayer away. Some of you, the breakthrough is just tapping into the name of Jesus again with faith, with passion, and saying, Lord, would you do it? I think some of us are living from challenge to challenge. We've just got to put the brakes on. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're looking at me. Am I too loud this morning? Do you want me to tone it back? You can get breakthrough in his name. His name's very powerful. I mean, it's a pretty good name. I mean, if you tap into it in faith, it can change your whole life. Unlock provision, blessing, favor, breakthrough, everything you might need. Every promise from God. Every supernatural blessing. And so be quite happy about that. I'm happy. I have his name, and look at me. I'm might be serious on the outside, but I'm going bananas on the inside like a frog in a sock, like a frog in a sock. Number three. Oh, aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Oh, man. Anyway, I just had to throw that in. Oh, man. Just sitting on that. Sometimes I'm preaching and I can just... Number three. So number one was salvation. Number two, answered prayer. By the way, this is old school preaching, by the way. I mean, there's... I'm trying to be trendy by having a name tag, but really, I'm just preaching on the power of the name of Jesus. But salvation, answered prayer. Number three, by the way, any old saints, you'll agree with me? Am I preaching true doctrine? Give me a wave if you agree. If you don't agree, email joel.pittman and give him all the reasons why. Number three, demonic power is broken. Mark 16:17, Jesus says, in my name, you will cast out demons. Old school. Oh, I love this. Oh, this blesses my heart. There was a girl in Acts chapter 16 following Paul around and annoying him. And he gets annoyed, following him for days. You work for the Lord. The Lord's with you. She's endorsing him, but in a false flattering spirit. Watch out for flattery, by the way. There's always a spiritual agenda attached to flattery. There's a difference between flattery and encouragement. And it's about motive. But that's a different point and really nothing to do with this sermon. But Paul, greatly annoyed, Acts 16:18. Says this, turn and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Oh, there's power in the name. You say, oh, the devil's coming against me. Can I tell you what you do? Some of us are paying for professionals to fix demonic things. And some of us are trying to fix demonic things, non-demonic things. That's where discernment kicks in. Discernment of spirits. But here, this is how he dealt with this girl's situation. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Oh, man, there's nothing. How many have been in this for a long time? Maybe a bit newer, but how many have ever seen someone set free from something demonic? I mean, it's pretty wild. It's pretty crazy. I've seen people set free. I've prayed for people. I remember one time, even down at Plimpton, I was praying for this lady. Perfectly nice. Sensible looking lady, she's at the altar. The minute I put my hands on her, she goes like this. I was like, I think that could be a demon. I cast that thing out of her in the name of Jesus. Got her free. That's what the name of Jesus does. Jimmy Swaggart was preaching in Panama City, in Panama. I clarified because there's one in Florida. So everyone's, oh, well, there's two, but anyway, just clarifying. How is that funny? What is with the stuff? Oh, it's a blessing. So he's in Panama City. Panama, not Florida. That's why I clarified. And this guy full of demons, 35,000 people in the meeting, this demon starts barking like a dog, like fully distraught. It wasn't just a nicey nice kind of growl. This was absolutely a demonic thing. And he stops. There's like thousands of people. And he says, in the name. And he starts using the names of the other gods. He says, in the name of Buddha, be free. And the guy kept barking like a dog. Then he says, in the name, and he lists other gods. He starts using the Mormons. He starts tapping into trying to see if the Mormons can get it done. In the name of Joseph Smith. And then he says, in the name of the one who walks on water. He says, in the name of the one that spoke to the storm and said, peace be still. I mean, no one could preach like him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. He says, in the name of the one who's coming back, in the name of the King of Glory, in the name of the one who saves, heals, and baptizes in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. And when he said, in the name of Jesus, that guy gets totally delivered. The next night stands up in his right mind, testifying to the goodness of Jesus. It's not always sensational. Sometimes it's just in your world. It's junk after 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 junk. And you go, how do I deal with that? And it might seem like in the natural, you're facing challenges. In the natural, there's things coming against you. In the natural, there's stuff. But can I tell you, there is a way to deal with some of these things when it's over and over and over again. You just say, okay, I'm sensing that this is not natural. Now it's spiritual. In the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus around my situation, and I thank you by the grace of God that this thing turns around in Jesus' name. Can you say a good amen this morning? Number four, one of the blessings that comes in the name of Jesus Mark 16:17 talks about it. In my name, you'll speak in new tongues. It says here, John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. In other words, one of the fourth blessing we have in the name of Jesus is the power or the baptism or even a relationship, really. It's everything he brings. The fourth blessing is the Holy Spirit. You and I, filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a blessing. Here's a blessing that comes in the name of Jesus. When we lay hands on people to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, would you fill them with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost? And power comes into their life. Why? Because the name of Jesus unlocks the resource of heaven, and we can tap into all that heaven has in his name. What a powerful name it is. Number five. I reckon I'm going to beat the clock this morning, 3 minutes and 55 seconds. It's a challenge, not a hope in the world. Number five, let's swing back to Peter. He lays hands on this guy. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's healing and miracles in the name of Jesus. What are you dealing with? What do you need? Well, believe God that in the name of Jesus, that's going to happen for the glory of God. What do you need today that only the name of Jesus can bring? I'm believing God, today's a day for a miracle. Today's a day for answered prayer. Today's a day for the supernatural. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say a good hallelujah this morning. Say a faith-filled amen if you believe it this morning. I tell you, I just want to see this church stirred up again to understand some of the old ancient principles of the Word of God, that we have a name that's above every name. At that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Oh, what a powerful name it is. Somebody, you might be sitting here going, you're getting too excited. I don't know how else to be. Because even if you try to be miserable, this will put a spring in your spirit. It'll put a melody in your heart. It'll set you free and give you hope and give you joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah. Every miracle you need is in the name of Jesus. Number six. Oh, this one, studying this one as I'm studying. And I'm going to preach a whole thing on this in the next weeks to come. Proverbs 18:10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. In a world where you don't feel safe, in a world that isn't always safe, in a world where there's challenge, in a world where there's people that want to do you harm, in a world where you can get cancelled, in a world where it's even getting tougher to even say you're a Christian. That being said, I'm a born-again child of God, unashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of Christ unto salvation. I love Jesus more than ever. I'm proud to be saved. Glory to God. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting victory. But let me just say this to you this morning, in a world where it feels like, man, it's just tougher, the righteous run into the name of the Lord and they are safe. What does that word safe mean? It means lifted above your troubles. Isn't that amazing? So you can almost look down on the stuff that comes against you. And when your perspective's up, those things look a lot smaller. Was it Mark Varughese that preached? I just came to my recollection. He's got a home in the Philippines. Basically, Kuala Lumpur. His brother-in-law's in the Philippines, but he is talking about how he lives on the 33rd floor. And what's big when you're on the ground is so small when you live on the 33rd floor. And I want to remind you that maybe some of the stuff so massive that's got you beat, that looks so big, and it may actually be bigger than you. You can run into that strong tower and find safety in his wings, in his protection, in his blessing. And what does he do? He goes, come up, come up, come up, come up. And then you look down and go, how did I let that problem seem so big? But now it's so small. Wow. Isn't that, that's the nature of our God. What's too big? You don't know, my problems are so big. Here's the word of the Lord. Run into him and come up higher. Come up. Come up with me and enter thy lot. Enter thy rest. Oh, I just want to let that settle in people's spirits. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth. I don't know why I'm going full King James this morning. It's how I learnt all my scriptures. So when it comes out of my spirit and my recollection, suddenly I become 89. He that dwelleth. Somebody say dwelleth. It's so much more spiritual. Dwells. Anyone can say that. It's weak. It's lazy. New King James laziness. No, I read the New King James. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Last Sunday night I was preaching in Brisbane for Paul Gearling. And as I was preaching in the service, one of the great old legends of the faith, a pastor by the name of Claude Fingleton, who's 78, who pioneered his church in Rockhampton. The church is a monster in this small little city. It's like 1,200 seat building. He'll still get up and play the tambourine to get the church fired up. And so if he can do it, you know what's happening next Sunday. but he, his wife has been quite sick with a heart challenge and has since recovered. But Pastor Claude says to us before we go, would you pray for us? And so I prayed. And Paul Gearling prayed, and Paul just said something that just stayed with me. He said, Father, I thank you that it's hidden in the shadow of your wings. And Lord, your wings cast a big shadow. And it just stayed in my spirit. I believe that with all of my heart. He that dwelleth in the secret place. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. Do you know, sometimes I face challenges, and I've dialed it back. I used to break into song nearly every time I preach, and then people go, but there's an old song we used to sing. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The name of the Lord is a, I don't remember the words, is a refuge from our storm. Is that right? The name of the Lord is a shoulder I can lean on. Is that right? The righteous run in, wrong song. The name of the Lord is, that's the one, a strong tower. The righteous run in. I don't know how to run into it, but I think it's like this. In Jesus' name. I give you my problems. I was going to run, but then I thought I might die, so I changed my mind. The righteous run in to the name of the Lord. Some of us, we run into sin. We run into addiction. We run into our habits. We run into our stuff. I feel like God's saying, run into the name of Jesus. You know, you say, well, how does it work? I can't give you 5 points because there isn't one. There's just one. You just look to heaven. Oh, our Father in heaven. In the name of Jesus. Ah, that's often how I pray. Repeat after me. He gets it. Maybe if Daniel can come, that's really the end of the sermon. I had 6 more points, but they're not these kind of points. I'll just say this. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're admitting the bankruptcy of our name. And we're connecting with his name. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we identify with the person of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and resurrection. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray in his authority. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we submit to his will. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we represent him and his interests on the earth. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray in earnest expectation that he's going to act on our behalf.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope it was an encouragement to you. If you'd like to know more about David and Donna, please visit our website, davidhall.com.au.